I'm Heidi Helm, and Linda Behrens and I were recently introduced to each other by Terry O'Fallon, because she knew that we were both crazy about type and also very interested in her stages model of development. So Linda has graciously suggested that I go first. I'm pretty new to speaking in front of people, and so I might pause for a moment and check my notes to make sure I'm not forgetting anything. But what I'm going to do is tell you my story, and then Linda is going to kind of do the heavy lifting and bring in her her knowledge and experience working with typology. So we started this project in December-ish of last year, and we're going to bring tons of data and findings, and we were going to analyze our research project and make a poster and write a paper. But what ended up happening was we figured out that we weren't exactly sure what we meant by type and development, because some of the descriptions overlap. And so we just wanted to make sure that we got straight about what we were talking about, and then the question started to change. So my question was, does type stay the same, or does it change over time and with development? So I'll just give you a little background about my experience with type and development. I came to type in about my mid-20s. I found it in the church. My husband and I found a vineyard church, which is kind of the place where all the artistic, musical misfits go because they can't really stand regular church. And there we found a lot of really thoughtful people, and they welcomed us, and we found expression. And there was a really great teacher, leader there, and he gathered the young couples who had, you know, were recently married, and started training them, like, for, you know, in leadership skills. And it was basically kind of a book club. So we went through, like, the Seven Habits and the Artist's Way and the Fifth Discipline. And then he had somebody do the Myers-Briggs with us. So what I got from that was that, oh, here's a place where I belong, but didn't really feel like I fit in before, but now I can see how I fit in. It was like a map for where my place and others, and a way to treat people better with more respect, which I was all for. I'm just going to check my notes here for a second. So not too long after that, I got a job at a Presbyterian church. And while I wouldn't have gone there, I found that I really enjoyed the order and the predictableness of it. So I worked there for a bunch of years, longest job I've ever had. And the Presbyterians have this really cool system. When a head pastor leaves, who's been there for many, many years, they bring in what they call a trained interim pastor. And so if they don't do that, they'll have an unintentional interim, because it's just so chaotic, and, you know, people aren't good with change, and they're used to this, you know, the way this other person did things. And so the guy who came in, who they brought in, was kind of amazing. Not everybody there liked him, but I really dug him because he was kind instead of nice, which felt very much more authentic to me, and I craved authenticity. He also would say things, say hard things that other people wouldn't, and he was really into organizational development, and he had just done this master's program, or was in the middle of it, at Luther Seminary in missional leadership, which is kind of like a church thing, which you may never have heard of. But so he started encouraging me to pursue. I was really interested in, because I'd been in, you know, a lot of crappy jobs and had seen things not done well, and I really wanted to contribute to more healthy work places. So he encouraged me to leave the job, go back to school, and so I was headed for seminary. But then, of course, you know, the more books I read, the further I got on my finishing my undergraduate, I was like, oh, okay, this isn't really going to work. I'm not going to be able to. I won't have a voice really in the world if I stay in the church, you know, in that circle, was how it looked to me then. So I stumbled onto Wilbur online and saw that there was an Integral Theory Master's program, I thought, oh, okay, well, I'll do that instead of seminary. So, and of course, that kind of just, you know, emptied the barrel and tipped everything upside down. I came to understand levels, you know, by I first read The Marriage of Sense and Soul, which felt like coming home to me. And I began to understand how levels informed the amber structure of church where I had been, and it helped me not be so quite so angry for not feeling understood and not being able to fit in. And it gave me an even bigger container to understand other people and to have compassion for them and to accept them where they were. I'm just going to check my notes again. Hang on. Okay, thanks for the patience. All right, so around this time, the other important piece is that my husband and I were kind of going through a parallel process where we were both losing our faith, our amber faith. And probably all of you have been through something like that. That was excruciating. We lost our entire community of support and friends. We moved away, not very far, but far enough away that we didn't, you know, see anybody anymore. We were isolated. But looking back now, I can see that process, there was no other way we could have gone through that. It had to be painful. It had to feel isolated. And it brought us to both to where we are now, which took a really long time. And part of why I love development so much is because it makes a place for people coming out of amber structures to find acceptance, to grow, to learn more about themselves. Just a second. Okay, so now to the important part, why I give a shit about this, because I think it's really, really important. What I was craving was acceptance, and I just wanted to be seen, and I didn't want to have to contort myself into something else. And I found type, and I got a little bit of that. And then I found levels, and I got even more of that. And what I want to do, what I want to spend my life doing that for other people, making a space for it to be okay, for everything to be okay, and to get rid of judgment and to just fill it up with acceptance. And if I can help one person, platform one person to become the version of themselves that's more authentic, then I'm good with that. Let me make sure there's nothing else. Okay, I'm going to let Linda take over now. Thank you.
So this is an embodiment of our differences. I'm at my best when I make up stuff on the fly based on what's gone before, and Heidi's at her best when she thinks it through ahead of time. And so she thought it through ahead of time, and I'm going to make up stuff as we go. So luckily, I can see the little clock here. Thank you. So my story about type was I grew up in a small town in Kansas. I'm 73. I was born in 1944. And in this small town, I was a good student. That was a good thing. But there's a long story. I better not tell that one. So anyway, I wound up feeling kind of good about myself, but not really. And, of course, the teen years were excruciating because if you know the Myers-Briggs, I don't use it, by the way, but my psychological type preferences, Jungian preferences, are dominant introverted thinking, supporting with extroverted intuiting, hence weaving everything in as it comes along, and then having like some access to introverted sensing, which is a sense of the past, and then wanting to connect, aspiring to connect. My Kersian temperament would have been rational, I don't use Kersey's work anymore either, except that it is the foundation of where I got started. So up until, and so I, you know, that didn't fit what a teenager ought to be. So in, when I was in Ember, I just didn't fit. So what I discovered, I didn't get to know who I am till I was 31 in my master's degree with two children at home. And then I got to be me. Luckily, I married someone who has the same pattern, so I didn't get much static from him. In fact, my best wed anniversary present was a tape recorder so I could record the lectures. So, you know, we're doing fine with that. He makes my bags of pills to take with me on my trips and very supportive together. So that was my realization. And a little like Heidi, I got very passionate about this, and it became my life work. And I have a master's in counseling, a PhD in psychology. But what I do is, you know, I'm kind of known in some circles as the type lady. And then I'd bristle at that because, no, I'm an organizational change person. I'm a catalyst for, you know, helping people understand themselves. And so I taught Brian Robertson, came to my classes. I used to do MBTI qualifying programs. And so he brought his fiance and the founders of the of Holacracy One came in on board, and actually the lenses that I was using and that emerged out of this work were used for Holacracy in the background. And in the very first Holacracy facilitator training, I had the wonderful opportunity to be staying at Brian's house with Suzanne. And so we did, Brian wanted me to do a whole day on the type in the 5-day training, so I did. So I'm saying to Suzanne, so how do these descriptions fit you? Have you found your fit? Because, of course, Brian and I are playing with this, and we're thinking, you know, this is it. And the way I believe this is you find your own fit, and it may fit you well for a little bit of time, but it may also, you might find a better fit later. Okay, so, you know, it's always up to the person. So I said to that to Suzanne, and she says, well, Linda, I said, have you read the descriptions? She said, Linda, they're not written in the language I speak, something like that. And I went, oh, okay, well, maybe I should rewrite them. She said, no, they're written in conventional language. That's, I don't know, I'm paraphrasing your words. That's your market. Those are the bulk of the people that are going to be reading those descriptions. And they were based on first-person interviews. What's it like to be you? Not parallel construction according to some framework. By the way, I love models and I hate models. Okay, so just to be clear, I'm no longer completely obsessed with them. Just a little. Because they're so useful. So, all right. Now, what happened was, the idea was we were going to do some research. But I went back home and a whole bunch of stuff happened, some of it not so pleasant. And when I finally got around to contacting Suzanne, she didn't have space for it to do. And I went to the Integral Theory Conference in 2013, and I signed up for Terry O'Fallon's post-conference workshop. And so I started studying the stages model. In which, you know, I had all these similarities. What happened to me when I discovered the development descriptions, and I had come across spiral dynamics before, and I really didn't like it. If you know anything about people with INTP preferences, you know that if a framework looks inconsistent with some framework you already know, then the other framework is wrong, obviously. So I took, if I'm going to criticize it, then I have to learn it. So I took the class with Don Beck. I still didn't quite get what I wanted. And so what really we discovered, the problem for me, was that red looks like one of Kersey's descriptions of one of the temperaments. Blue looks like descriptions of one of the temperaments. Early orange, or expert especially, looks like, and well, even other orange, like one of the temperaments. There are four temperament patterns Kersey described in the book, Please Understand Me. He was my professor. And then the catalyst, or the what he called the idealist, looks like green. So then the question is, and then of course some of the stages and levels descriptions have similar kind of what looks like crossovers. So I wasn't concerned about does type stay the same. I've had, I can't do the math, 73 take away 31, whatever that is, years of watching my kids, my grandkids, and other people, okay? So I've had all that time to do this, and what I discovered was that type does stay the same, and that it expresses differently over time. And I got into the real basis of the Myers-Briggs, which is the Jungian constructs, and there is vertical development in that aspect of type. So the paper I wrote in 2013 for the conference was a meta-model of types. If you want a copy of that, you can sign the little pad of paper that we give you, or you can just email me at linda@lindabarons.com. And the big thing I discovered is this graphic. So we have a core self, and this core self is there, but we are in a situation, in a context. And sometimes when we take an have an experience with a typology, we respond from the context. Sometimes, then that's our current behavior, and then that puts pressure on us to be certain ways. And then there is this developed self that comes from both places, the external pressure and the internal map to grow in our consciousness. So there is a place, and I believe there are only two really good typologies. Mine. I'm not arrogant about it, but I think it's good, which is a blending of several others, and the Enneagram. Those meet my criteria for a good typology. So you want to know about that, just ask me for the paper. It was published in Integral Leadership Review, too, if you have that. So anyway, the whole... I'm going by this clock down here. Sorry. I get bristly if I don't get my full time. So what Heidi and I discovered is that, well, the research questions are still there. It's going to be a very long study. Maybe in 2 years we'll have some research to support. And that actually the narrative that we had yesterday sitting on our little patio outside our room where Heidi was telling her story and how the type in this model is a catalyst and those are the core psychological needs. And it made all kinds of sense why Amber wasn't a place where she could stay very long. But if she were a stabilizer, Kersey's guardian, Myers-Briggs SJ, by her core, she might have found more comfort at that stage. So that's another hypothesis that's emerged. That expert for me is, I still look expert if I think about it. You know, I'm likely to stay there for a long time, and I think I did. And I have no idea where I am other than crazy. I do the fool pretty well, though, so we're all right with that. I don't know what else I have up here, but it may not be worth doing. May not be going anywhere. There, you have it. So really, you know, there's some definitions. I'll happy to send those to you as well. And, you know, what is a type? Type is a stable pattern that evolves. In other words, it doesn't stay the same, but there is a consistency, and you have to get to the essential qualities, and that's what's really important. And then development, well, emerging patterns of consciousness. And Heidi's story is a story where type helped her with her development. And I believe that type and vertical development go together, that it's not just for horizontal development. But like me, you may have had to go back and reclaim it. That's 1 second. Thank you very much.